following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Welcome to Fireside Chat here at Refuge. Hey, I saw another church that is doing Fireside Chats.
Oh, really?
Well, no, we didn't come up with it. It was FDR, I love that there's other churches that are doing this every day. I saw that Calvary Chapel of Aurora, Colorado, saw this. They have a drive-through prayer, I think, every day from 2 to 4. The pastors go out to the cars as people drive by. I want to say, expect to see that soon. Expect to see that soon here at Refuge. Yeah. But wouldn't it be great if we didn't need it? And the doors were open and you could come in and pray. We can pray absolutely anywhere. We don't need to be in a dedicated building. Let's just dedicate the whole world as a prayer room. But I want to share a song with you before we jump into a little bit of time in the Word. And we want to talk about what you're doing. Make sure you have grape juice and bread of some kind. I know what the other element. I know the menu for communion. So I want to share this song with you. It's not a sing-along, but I hope it's a blessing to you. And it's one that I find myself singing through this season. I think I've shared it here on the Fireside Chat, but I felt compelled again to share it with you today. And it's just this cry from my heart a number of years ago. Lord, do a deep work in me. Take me out deeper into realms of service and deeper in holiness, deeper in the understanding of your word. It explains itself. But the reference to the mask in here is not about the mask that you're supposed to be wearing as you're out in community. So
I won't think of that.
Do a deep work in my heart. Go beyond all my defenses. I drop my mask. Oh Lord, I ask. Do a deep work in my heart. Do a deep work in my heart. Take me out beyond the shallows. I drop my cares. Lord, take me to a deep work in my heart. And I will know your joy again. And I will sing your songs of gladness. And I will be clean when the bones you have broken rejoice. Do a deep work in my heart. This is so important. 'Cause I'm standing here unguarded, and I need so much just to trust your touch. Do a deep work in my heart. I'm standing here unguarded. Take me out beyond the shallows. Go beyond all my defenses. Do a deep work in my heart. And David said this, then I will know your joy again. And I will sing your songs of gladness. And I will be clean when the bones you have broken rejoice. So do your deep work in my heart. take me out beyond the shallows. I need so much to trust your touch. Do a deep work in my heart. Do a deep work in my heart. Do a deep work in my heart. Father, I pray that as we spend a few minutes leading up to this nourishing, stabilizing, strong meal that we're going to have together, that you would do a fresh work in us, Father, in the middle of this crazy time we live in. I pray for those that are struggling with their health right now because of COVID. We pray for those that are wondering whether they've got it or maybe afraid of getting it, just walking in fear. Lord, would you lift the fear as they trust in you? And would you heal those that are sick and bless those that are grieving? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to read a verse to you from Paul's letter to Pastor Timothy, and Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He wrote two letters to Timothy, one to Titus, at least four other letters that we know of that were called prison epistles, prison letters. But in this one, I love how he waits until what we call chapter 2. In the more than 1/6 of the way through his book, and he says this: now therefore I exhort first of all, and I know I shared this yesterday on an Instagram live, but let me do it again. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, and listen to the category, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's Paul in confinement, in restriction, he's sheltering in place because he has no choice. He's either, as scholars say, he's either bound between one or two soldiers, either bound by one or between one or two soldiers, or he's under house arrest, but he's still restricted. And what he says in that time is, first of all, of primary importance, he says, pray. And then he goes into the list. He said, pray for the kings. And the king at that time was atrocious. Most believe that it was crazy old Nero. And he said, pray for kings and those in authority so that you may lead a quiet, peaceable life. That doesn't mean retiring to the countryside. Right. Because he goes on to talk about what we're supposed to be doing, even in times of difficulty. So Joy and I thought we would talk today about this. What are we doing with this time that we're sequestered? And maybe we're not as sequestered as some of you. We get calls to go out and pray for people, lay hands on people, anoint them with oil, and ministry calls. And I'll take those calls, and I'll wear my mask if they need me to or if it's necessary. But what has been going on in our lives? Then I'll let you talk about what God's done in you through this time of the refinement through the confinement. So you were talking about it this morning.
You know, it's caused me to look closer at my walk with the Lord and to just pay attention to what the Lord's saying and to be more attentive. I know I have an advantage of being someone that I don't have little kids at home. And when I think of the things that I've accomplished at home, I stand in amazement at the women, particularly, who have been home with kids and have become more of a nurse, they've become school teachers. And for me, my goodness, if they would have told me I had to do homeschooling, I would have just killed me now. Because I feel so inadequate to it.
I couldn't do it either. But I couldn't teach guitar.
But then there are guys that are taking up the slack too. Guys that are helping with the kids and
our son Jeremy is homeschooling.
Teaching the kids schoolwork and keeping them busy and teaching them the word and keeping them, allowing them to have an imagination. And, you know, the Lord's doing great things during this time, if we allow him.
Yeah.
If we just kind of sit back and allow the Lord to do his work in us, and we're not like, oh, I got to sit here. Oh, I can't stand sitting here. I got to be home. I don't want to be home. I got to blah, blah, blah. You know what? Just let the Lord.
That translates
just,
into every language, what you just said. Everyone totally understands that.
Just let the Lord come in and do that, that cleansing, that whatever, giving us strength where we didn't have strength, giving us courage where we didn't have courage. And
I found myself the other day, just when, and I've heard you talk about this too, babe, that you just want to go into a store just to look around, pick something up and put it back down.
And as Shannon said, I feel so shallow right now that I want to do that.
And I was walking by Barnes & Noble and think, I wonder if that magazine is on the rack yet, the new edition. And it's one of my really, you know, happy places is to walk through a bookstore. So it's made me think about, well, what am I doing with my time? Mm-hmm. And I've already mentioned it. Paul, when he was confined, he wrote a bunch of books. Joseph, when he was defined, I've made a couple of notes here. When he was confined and tossed down the river by his brothers, what did he do with his time? Well, he saved two nations. Mm-hmm. He saved the nation of Egypt with a wise counsel that God had given him, and he saved the nation, his own nation, which was just a clan at that point, an extended family of 70 people. And he got his perspective right. God has me here. I want to say this to you today, all of you that are listening, our dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, I am proud of you. I hope I'm pointing at the right camera. I know I'm pointing at you now. One of these cameras works. But he has you strategically placed right where you are, like Joy's study through Esther. God has you right where he wants you, and there will be assignments every day. Mm-hmm. They may not be a person walking down the sidewalk, but it'll be a person that comes to mind that you can contact and you can pray for. And where I started in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we are called to pray for those in authority over us. Please be praying. Some of you might have seen me looking at my phone. I'm looking to see if a news break is coming in. It's buzzing all the time. That's letting us know that possibly our governor, we're praying that he will turn a corner and recognize the church as being essential and allow us into this phase two change as we begin to move back towards whatever's going to be the new normal. But that he'll let us be included as an essential element of our society, our culture, and our state so that we can begin to gather again. And if we could show you the sanctuary right now, it's about 850 empty chairs out there, and only about a quarter of those will be able to be filled, and so we have to be strategic. We will add new services. So there will be different times during the week that you'll be able to come to a Bible study, multiple services on Saturday night probably, and then maybe even Friday night. We don't know. We'll let you know as that comes together. But if we hear today that we are in phase two and we are permitted to assemble this coming weekend, I think that's unlikely. But if we get the permission, we're not going to wait till the end of the month. I know a lot of churches are talking about permission or not, they're going to meet at the end of the month. We're not going to do that. We're going to wait for the permission. And as soon as it's given, we are on it.
In the parameters.
Yeah, right? and within the parameters of social distancing and masks wherever they're needed and lots of hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. We got to find the place to buy the stations. It'll look different when you come, but we'll still be together as a family of God. Mm-hmm. And when we come together, trust me, that one of the first things we're going to do is communion.
Yeah.
Which we're going to do right now. So I want to ask you to go ahead and take the bread that you have before you and remember how Jesus, when he locked himself in behind closed doors with his disciples that last night of his life here on earth, he took the bread, it says, he blessed it and he broke it. And I always forget if he broke it first and then blessed it or blessed it then broke it. Doesn't matter. But he took the bread, and he said, "This is my body that is offered for you, that is given for you, that is broken for you." Mm-hmm. Speaking about how he would literally take the sin of the world upon himself as the only holy sacrifice that had ever been. And as we take this bread today, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Joy to pray for the bread before we eat it. Mm-hmm. But as we take this bread today, this early afternoon on May the 8th, 2020, 8 weeks into our quarantine, we will realize we still have in Jesus everything that we need. He is still bodily risen from the dead and literally living in us because we love him. So that night he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Remember how much he paid to save you and us." Joy to pray.
And Lord, we thank you for the breaking of your body that we might have eternal life, Lord. Mm-hmm. And you said every time that we do this, that we are to do it in remembrance of you. And so, Lord, today, at this very moment, Lord, we remember that you were broken for us. Lord, that you loved us so much that you laid down your life that we might live. And you rose again, Lord, because death can't hold you. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of getting to do, take this communion, Lord. The privilege of getting to remember who you are. And what you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Take the bread. Remember the body of Christ that was offered for you. And it says, in the same manner, after supper, appears to be the last thing they did before they sang the hymn and went out, that he took the cup and he said, "And this cup is the cup of the new covenant of my blood that is shed for many," and we know how many, "the sins of the whole world." What he did in that one sacrifice was enough to cover all your sins, all your regrets, all your brokenness, and to heal all of your wounds. So maybe you need healing. Somebody today needs healing. And I just pray right now that I beg of you, I exhort you, put your faith in Jesus Christ for that healing that you need and the restoration of your health. And so, Father God, we thank you for all that was accomplished through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's on the basis of the power of that blood that we come to you and we rest in your love, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the fact that the pouring out of the blood of Jesus as a sacrifice, a willing sacrifice for our sins, Lord. It was enough. And how he cried out that night, that afternoon from the cross and said, "It is finished, it is paid for." We thank you that the penalty of our sin has been covered, Lord. Our sins have been washed away. The chains of sin are broken. The doors of heaven are open because the blood was shed. And so we drink this refreshing drink, Lord, being reminded of the sweetness of our salvation because of what Jesus did. In his name we pray. I pray for healing for that person, Lord, whoever it is, that you would lift that affliction and restore their health and take away their fear in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remember his blood that was shed for us. I think we're still on. I don't know what that was, but maybe it was God clapping his hands. So continue to pray for the opportunities that God has set before you. Continue to pray for presidents and governors and lawmakers in our state and law enforcement. And continue to be an outreach of his hand, his voice, and be his presence in this world as you touch people in Jesus' name. We will see you tomorrow night, we'll be broadcasting at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and then 7:30, 9, and 11 on Sunday morning. Keep looking for updates on refugefamily.com or my Instagram, Zukulele, Zukulele on Instagram, or Bill Welsh on Facebook for the updates on what might be happening here this weekend. God bless you. Grace and peace to you in Jesus' strong name. Let him do a deep work in you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.